radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Cyberspace is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. Then you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get off the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Hey, wake up, wake up. You got the power. You got the
my people
power.
In the east, yo, you gotta wake up. Midwest, 30 South, yo, you gotta stand up. All my homies in the west, yo, you gotta wake up.
Yeah. stand up here and give thanks to the man upstairs. Put the egos and the pride to the side regardless. Just be role models, parents, artists. We can make a change or we can make it the hardest. If you gonna make a baby, you should make them the smartest. Let them know good and bad, right from wrong. How to roll with the punches when life moves on. And the stress won't take toll if you don't sweat it. World won't get no better if we don't let it. Let the negative energy ride. Keep hope alive. It's about time that we open our eyes. Wake up.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred.
For the second guess, the words I speak. Words through sleep, the leadership fix your mouth to teach. MCs teach the kids with speech. They don't have to worry about the police. We make them rich so they don't have to see. Every artist here on his track. We'll make a change here for young cats. This is for everybody, white or black. You better go and vote and get up off your back. The time for roll on, lift your hands, get your voice up. Now the stage is a gift that our people have to fight for. And the fight won't be personal for anyone to get more. Voice be heard.
Professor Griff, you're listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, all right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griff from Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
We started off our program with Message in the Music. Babyface, Mary J. Blige, Jamie Foxx, Brandy, Wycliffe John, and others, their version of the Gamble and Huff, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes classic, Wake Up Everybody, as we encourage you to wake up and to stand up for yourself, stand up for what's right, stand up for the best in all of us as we rumble the forces of darkness, fascism, and ignorance as they attempt to usher in a new world order. You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. We're pleased to be here with you today, as always, and we're thankful for your support. And speaking of support, we're going to take a break as you listen to these public service announcements. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Greetings to the Internet Radio family. This is Reverend Valentine speaking. You know, for nearly 30 years, I have had the distinct experience of being interviewed over every medium of communication available to the public. And except for the metaphysical underground, I can think of no other electronic venue that has been more progressive, more innovative, more insightful, more diligent, more diverse in its demographics, and more courageously supportive of the truth than this ever-growing phenomenon called Internet radio. And this is precisely why I'm here to tell you that it is so vital that you give your wholehearted support to it. Tell a friend. In fact, tell 2, 3, and 4 of your friends. If you are a business owner, support Internet radio by telling your customers and constituents all about it. Let them know that there is a legitimate and important substitute to all of the prefabricated, super-censored garbage polluting our public airways today. Don't allow the mass media to continue to treat you like a mindless consumer drone. Enhance your awareness. Indulge your critical thinking, your reasoning, and your analysis. Do as I do. Log on, listen in, and then let it be known all about your internet radio experience. Chimatep, beloved family, thank you for listening. Walk in light.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com, or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul@blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support. You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned.
And I'm wondering whether the senator is familiar with the fact that the language which precluded the application of Section 1031 to American citizens was in the bill that we originally approved in the Armed Services Committee, and the administration asked us to remove the language which says that U.S. citizens and lawful residents would not be subject to this section. Is the senator familiar with the fact that it was the administration that asked us to remove the very language which we had in the bill which passed the committee, and that we removed it at the request of the administration that would have said that this determination would not apply to U.S. citizens and lawful residents? I'm just wondering, is the senator familiar with the fact that it was the administration which asked us to remove the very language, the absence of which is now objected to by the senator from Illinois?
I'm familiar now because the senator from Michigan has shared that fact with me.
That was a speech or part of a debate on the floor of the U.S. Senate. The primary speaker was Michigan Senator Carl Levin, a Democrat who was promoting or encouraging support for the National Defense Authorization Act number 1031, 2011, which is a several hundred page document that in addition to authorizing the expenditure of funds for the military and the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, also includes some alarming language. And unfortunately, very few people of African descent, very few African media have addressed this. Now, the Senate has since passed the bill by an overwhelming majority, 93-7. But I wrote a piece about it. It's entitled Obama and the Rising U.S. Police State, and you can see it at seeingblack.com, and just go On the right-hand side, you'll see a list of blogs, and you'll see my picture and my name. The blog is entitled From the Ramparts. I've been doing it for several years, and it appears in a lot of e-groups and was on a lot of sites, the name platforms, but because of the economy and because the owners are now charging, a lot of the platforms have shut down. And so they tended to be alternative news, alternative views, and more conscious social networks. And unfortunately, because of the economy and also because of the crackdown on dissent, a lot of these sites and social network platforms are disappearing. And what you're going to see is a continuation of the mind control apparatus, claptrap, the gross propaganda, and the pro-war, pro-fascism, degrading, desecration, and dehumanization. And they're both part and parcel of it. Desecration, meaning that the destruction of our sacredness and also our humanity, do they reduce us to below animals, as subhumans and animals, in terms of our consciousness, our thinking, our passions, or our orientation. And so we need to wake up, as the young people said in their version of the song, wake up everybody. And I say that because for the past several months I've been producing and hosting a program on Before It's News .com, which is an alternative portal where they're very inclusive of a lot of interests, a lot of topics, a lot of subjects, and as well as Native American and African American tabs and categories. And briefly, they offered a radio station, and they had a lot of potential, but they've since ceased. They had planned to roll it out, and they planned to even move into television, streaming television. But I see that have since put a hold on their radio. In fact, if you go up there, it's not even activated. You can see the list of the programs. You can see how many programs have been done or contributed, but you can't even access them now. So hopefully they'll resolve that and we'll be able to continue. But from my point of view, that message needs to get out. We're going to continue on, and we're going to share the blog here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary. The blog is called From the Ramparts. And this latest piece is Obama and the Rising U.S. Police State. As the United States rapidly devolves into a fascist police state, it should be abundantly clear to all but the hopelessly brain dead and fools that both political parties are in cahoots to accelerate our descent into a full-fledged banana republic. Unfortunately, too many black people remain delusional. President Barack Obama is somehow different from his immediate predecessors, that he will reveal his true mettle, stand up to the kleptocracy, and not sell us out for the corporate and financial elites. Sorry, any notion Obama is a man of courage or that he is on our side went down the toilet when Michigan Senator Carl Levin revealed on the floor of the United States Senate during his speech supporting draconian aspects of the recently passed National Defense Authorization Act of 2011, the Obama administration itself ordered the wording in the bill that calls for the indefinite military detention of U.S. citizens. If you doubt what I'm saying, you can go to my blog on seeingblack.com and click on Obama and the Rising U.S. Police State, and on it has a link, and you click that link and you can see it for yourself, but you just heard it, just played it. Wrap your mind around what Senator Levin is saying. It was the Obama administration itself that asked the Senate to remove the language that precluded U.S. citizens from being rounded up and detained without trial, thus doing away with the Fourth and Sixth Amendments of the Bill of Rights to the U.S. Constitution. Needless to say, the senators removed it at the request of the administration. Whatever happened to the D.C. gridlock we've been seeing for the last couple of years? What about the partisan bickering? Oh, I see. When it comes to class warfare, the U.S. Congress is on one accord against we the people. You can see what one British newspaper is saying about it all at www.ukprogressive.co.uk/op-ed does U.S. Senate commit treason with NDAA bill /article16137.html. Oddly enough, little or nothing is being said about the National Defense Authorization Bill of 2011 in the U.S. mind control apparatus. Now you see why ratings are falling for network news and newspaper readership is declining. The people know they are in cahoots with the kleptocrats. Unfortunately for us, there is even more alarming news about what is going on under the Obama administration. A recently leaked document from Kellogg Brown & Root, which is a former subsidiary of the Halliburton Corporation, you remember them, the ones who got the notorious no-bid contracts with the Iraq War? Well, they revealed they are in the process of executing their government contract to open and operate FEMA detention centers and internment camps, and they are looking to hire subcontractors to man the centers. This means the infrastructure is being put in place to detain and hold U.S. citizens. If you doubt what I'm saying, go to http://dprogram.net/2011/12/07/exclusive-government-activating-FEMA-camps-across-U-S and see the actual notice from Kellogg Brown & Root for yourself. Why now? What's up? Does the Occupy Wall Street movement pulling the covers off the endemic corruption and collusion between government and banksters and the corporations have anything to do with this? As we connect the dots, we can see an ominous pattern forming as local governments, at the behest of the federal government, crack down on dissent. The mayor of Oakland, Gene Kwan, admitted during an interview recently she and eight other mayors were on a teleconference that encouraged a coordinated crackdown of the Occupy Wall Street movement, protests, and demonstrators in their cities. It was later discovered that representatives from the Department of Homeland Security were in on those discussions. Lo and behold, the raids all took place at 1 a.m. in the morning. They all involved local police in full combat riot gear who swept in, demolished the camps, and confiscated the demonstrators' belongings. During the raids around the country, which also included college campuses, peaceful protesters were beaten, pepper sprayed, and arrested by riot guard police and campus security forces. Not one peep was uttered by Eric Holder or Barack Obama about the abuse and mistreatment of U.S. citizens. Obama is supposed to be an authority on the U.S. Constitution. John Corzine, the former governor and U.S. senator from the state of New Jersey and a former head of Goldman Sachs, took a job as head of MF Global Securities after he left office. Not only did he run it into the ground by sinking money into European bond markets, MF Global was forced to declare bankruptcy. That's not all. The firm co-mingled their clients' funds with their own money, which resulted in the loss of between $600 million and $1.2 billion in customers' funds. Have we seen Corzine in an orange jumpsuit doing the perp walk in front of cameras for the corporate media? Has Corzine even been charged with fraud despite obvious ethical breaches and malfeasance? Nah, that only happens to poor people or nonconformists who demonstrate against the U.S. government. Where is the SEC, DOJ on this? Why isn't the government doing anything to investigate this and make Corzine an example? Why? because the SEC, DOJ, Eric Holder, Obama et al. Are part of the problem. They are in cahoots with the kleptocrats, so don't look for them to do a thing to stop this. Is MF Global merely the tip of the iceberg? Will there be more revelations? Will there be more revelations about missing money? Will other, quote, investment firms, unquote, skip off with their clients' money? Keep in mind, this is an ongoing bipartisan program of theft and pillage. Some of the money lost was probably pension fund money. Might have been yours or mine. On September 10, 2001, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld held a press conference to announce over $2.3 trillion, that's with a T, was unaccounted for in Defense Department funds. If you doubt what I'm saying, go to http://www.wantoknow.info/05031010 Pentagon trillions lost and see for yourself. Has anyone gone to jail for that? Has there been a full investigation into that? Oh, right. That was the day before 9/11, and everything changed after 9/11. Yes, things have changed, but have they changed for the better or worse? Did the DOD missing money to the billions for no-bid contracts, the crony capitalism on the bogus war on terror, a.k.a. corporate welfare under the Bush regime, and the things going on under Obama, put them together and you can see an alarming trend here. Obama came on the set talking about change. Has there been any real change? Are you better off under Obama today than you were under Bush? Are you more secure financially? Do you have more trust in the government? Is the world safer? How is it that the police in riot gear can descend on public space and university campuses to brutalize and disrupt peaceful demonstrations protesting against corporate greed, undue political influence, and corruption, yet crooks like John Corzine, who have run the economy into the abyss, stolen people's money, go off scot-free? Why is the FEMA detention camp center around the country being activated now? Why are the Army U.S. labor camps being activated? What does this tell you about conditions in the U.S. under Barack Obama? If you are part of the 99%, you need to seriously think about this. And that's one of my latest pieces from my blog, From the Ramparts. And we need to keep abreast of what's going on. Unfortunately, our media, and if you go back and read E. Franklin Frazier's Black Bourgeoisie, if you look at Amos Wilson's Blueprint for Black Power, unfortunately, they both say the same thing. There's a preoccupation in the media for trivialities. There's a lack, a woeful lack of serious analysis, serious talk about what's going on and how does it impact us as a collective, as a group of people within a pluralistic and very hostile environment, politically, socially, and economically. Now, we're not as under as much duress as, say, some Muslims are because of the demonization of Islam and Muslims that is currently going on. But we're still viewed as a fifth column, a potentially lethal fifth column that could offer a threat to the status quo in the government. If you heard the interviews I did with the people at the Philadelphia Occupy Wall Street site, and they were mostly young people, and I went at the behest of one of the publishers of one of the newspapers I write for, and they wanted to get a story. And prior to that, the media and even the black or the Negro press was putting out that the Occupy movement didn't have any people of color. Well, when I went down there, I found that not to be true. In fact, I interviewed several and took pictures of several of the participants who were black. And I felt that the Occupy movement, much like the original Tea Party, and I'm not talking about the Tea Party that was taken over by the Koch brothers and Dick Armey and Freedom Works and then merged into the ultra-right of the Republican Party. I'm talking about the original Tea Party, independent, unaligned, and disorganized group of people who first started in around 2007. They were concerned about the escalating debt. They were concerned about the wars. They were concerned about what was going on under the Bush administration. That movement was infiltrated, co-opted, and taken over by the Koch brothers, and they used Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin, put them out there as their spokespersons, and were able to morph it into a Republican mind control or psyop, where they felt, or they tricked people into thinking that they were part and parcel of the Republican Party. Now, I'm not into the political dichotomy, the Democrats, Republicans, left, right. I believe that's all a misnomer. I believe it's all a form of divide and conquer, divide and rule, that the ruling elites use to keep us from seeing how they're duping us, seeing how they're taking advantage of us, seeing what's really going on behind the curtain. Nevertheless, the perspective on the Occupy movement, and as well as the original Tea Party movement, is one of people waking up, people coming to the conclusion that things aren't going right, that America's headed in the wrong direction, that our leaders are not on our side, and that the leadership poses a major threat to not only our well-being and security, but the well-being and security of the world. Because these wars for resources and geostrategic positioning and dollar hegemony can't go on. And the fact that the United States government itself is broke and is in hock to the American people, because it is the American people that it owes the most money to, meaning it owes us Social Security, because they've been stealing from, or as they say, borrowing from the Social Security Trust Fund. The problem is the IOUs that they put in there in the form of bonds are not redeemable. They don't earn interest. So it's not like at some point in time the government, which has borrowed from itself, is going to repay itself. That's not happening. That's why they're trying to do away with Social Security, because they know they can't put the money back. And the same thing is happening with Medicare and Medicaid, because of the rising costs of those programs and the fact that there's so much fraud and corruption endemic in the programs. White collar crime is making the programs unworkable, not because they can't deliver the services, but because of the history of theft. And I mentioned in the blog piece about the $2.3 trillion in the Defense Department that went that was reported on September 10th, 2001 as missing. Well, that's not just in the DOD. The Inspector Generals and the GAO has come to the same conclusions about just about every department in the government. Department of Interior, Housing and Urban Development, and you name it, there is a major movement of pillage and thrust, not thrust, but theft going on in this country. And the people are suffering. And what's happening is folks are starting to wake up, they're starting to get angry. on some levels, you can look at what's going on, and they tried to make it like it was race when Obama won, and all of a sudden gun sales went through the roof, ammunition sales went through the roof, to the point that there was no inventory or supply left early on. They tried to make it like it was the good old boys and the rednecks were afraid because Obama was biracial. Now, what's happening is, if you look at the low rating, the Congress has a rating in the single digits. I think the last time I checked, it was like 9%. Obama's rating is down like about 40. The people are frustrated. They're afraid. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. They see their standard of living crumbling before their very eyes, and they are panicking. And what you're going to see is more and more dissent. And as things worsen, and they will worsen because situations like MF Global will reoccur. And what you're going to see is there were pension funds and savings account investment vehicles that invested not only in Bernie Madoff, but not only in MF Global, but in the hedge funds. And they are precariously close to implosion because they were bought on margin. They're way over leveraged. If you listen to the problem with MF Global, a lot of what they did, they were in over their heads. They were over leveraged. They were under collateralized. And this is endemic. And not only is it endemic, but it's part and parcel to how the banking system runs, which is called reserves. In other words, a bank only has to keep on hand and on deposit 10% of its total reserves. And so that's why they're fearful of a run on the bank. Because if you run on the bank, unless they can and get another bank or the Federal Reserve to give them the money, they'd be wiped out because they don't have all the money that they have been entrusted on reserve. And so just like that, that's the same situation with these hedge funds, the same situation with the derivatives, and on and on and on. So that's what we're facing. And the ruling elites know this. They put it on the brink deliberately, or there's a segment who've done it deliberately, but there's another segment who have their blinders on. They're just amoral. They just could care less. And they're just out to rob, steal, plunder, and pillage everything. And their ultimate goal is to reduce us to serfs, peons, and slaves who are laboring. It's like little hamsters running on a little treadmill going nowhere. And we can see that as the so-called middle class, which is a misnomer, shrinks, shrivels, and falls into debt peonage. Because even now, as we approach the holiday season, many of the people who are buying, foolishly buying, are buying on credit. It's not based on their own savings or their own disposable income that they have over and above their bills and their debts. And this is all deliberate. The Federal Reserve Bank, by reducing the interest rates to zero, have created a disincentive to save. I'm a member of a lot of organizations. We have a lot of money tied up in CDs or various savings or investment accounts, and when we give the monthly reports, we see how you're getting like a couple of pennies when you've got thousands of dollars in on reserve or invested. And so that's the disincentive of compound interest in terms of savings. But at the same time, the low interest rates encouraged borrowing to the point of insanity. You know, second, third mortgages, refinancing, and all that kind of stuff. And now it's all, the chickens are coming home to roost. not only on a personal level, but on a corporate level, but also government level and institutional level with these various hedge funds and the casino capitalism and crony capitalism and insider trading and pump and dump schemes and Ponzi schemes that we're seeing going on here. And so we need to wake up, and we need to understand that this country is on the brink of major, major implosion, and there is moral rot at the core of it, at the very vortex, because it's the consciousness that has been promoted by the media, not necessarily by families. Families might talk about, you know, the golden rule, doing right, work hard work, et cetera, et cetera. But the Trojan horses that we have in our homes, the televisions, the iPods, the personal data devices that are all feeding us a value system of predation, of war, of killing, of desecration and dehumanization are taking its toll. And even though we can resist some of it, some of it is getting through our conscious filters into our subconscious, and we're seeing the moral rot, like they say a fish rots from the head down. So we can see the moral rot in the government, in the banking industry, in the corporations, and no greater place is it in the government, where we see the government is not on our side. That's why their rating is so low. And so, getting back to the message in the music, we need to wake up and be aware of what's going on. And if there is a protest, demonstration, or education, seminar, workshop about what's going on near you, go. Because there was a time when black people were the moral compass and the conscience of this country. Now, part of it is because of what they've done to us through COINTELPRO and by co-opting our leadership and promoting the American dream. Well, they promoted the American dream and the ownership society. You saw what that how that panned out, because our people suffered disproportionately in terms of the housing crash and the credit crash, on a whole lot of reasons, whether it was the subprime or even when we qualified for conventional loan rates, they put us in subprime because they were incentivized to do it because the brokers got a higher commission or higher fee. So all of this corruption was incentivized. That's how you get people to do things against their will. You either do it through intimidation or threats, or you do it through incentives to play on their ego, which is not what I call earth-grounded orientation, which is basically materialism, the baser drives and elements that we have not learned to take dominion over or position. You know, we want validation and we want to be seen as oftentimes something that we're not, and people know that. And they will use that against us. And they will also use our proclivities against us once they find out, because we're always demonstrating who we really are. We're always showing the world our real values and our real consciousness, because it expresses itself in our lives, in our daily lives. That's why the Bible was saying, Yeshua was saying, there's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. There's nothing whispered in the basement that won't be shouted at the rooftops. There's nothing that goes into a man that defiles him. It's what's in the man that defiles him. And so it's all about consciousness. It's all about values. It's about psychology. It's about self-development and cultivation of higher consciousness. And that's what we're encouraging here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. Don't go anywhere. We got one more message to share with you, and then we'll return and close out today's program. Don't go anywhere.
If you are enjoying the programming here on the Blake Radio Network, please log into our website at www.blakeradio.com. Then click on Channel 5, Rainbow Soul, and sign up to help keep this venue alive for only 19 cents a day. In order for us to keep bringing you this radio station, we need your support. So log into blakeradio.com, then click on Channel 5, Rainbow Soul, and sign up for only 19 cents a day to help keep this radio station on the air. Channel 5, Rainbow Soul. Talk radio at its best.
You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned. Wanted to just share something with, this is from the December issue of AARP Bulletin, and under the title, "The People Are Leading the Way." Almost always, the American people get it right. They're proving it once again. The costs of the nation's economic collapse are now being tallied, and you wouldn't be surprised that it's even worse than we thought. On the other hand, the first solid evidence of the people's response is better than anyone could have expected. First, the numbers. Since 2007, as the housing bubble crest, the net value of our homes, the market value minus outstanding mortgages, has fallen by more than half. Recent Federal Reserve statistics document the decline in net home equity from $12.9 trillion to $6.2 trillion in 2011. That's a stunning decline. The $6.7 trillion that has been lost exceeds the size of the entire Chinese economy, or the size of the German and French economies combined. That loss doesn't take into account the human consequences of almost 4 million homes that have been foreclosed and the 27% of homes that are underwater or worth less than their outstanding mortgages. For families, the vanishing wealth would have been retirement savings, a college tuition account, or a safety net against job loss, or all three. Today, it's all gone. So how have Americans responded? They're saving as though they've rediscovered a long-forgotten taste. In the current recovery, sluggish as it is, people have divided into two groups, those who have lost a little of their wealth and those who have lost a lot. For context, Fed economists measured the devastating impact of the economic crash and found that the loss of wealth experienced by 4 of every 10 U.S. families was equal to or more than 6 months of their annual income. But the same Fed statistics highlight the public response. People have stopped spending. Now their savings, between 2004 and 2008, investments in CDs averaged $250 billion. That figure more than doubled to $600 billion last year. The national savings rate, which was 1% 6 years ago, was 5% last year. Instead of spending at fancy restaurants or buying the latest digital gadgets, Americans are paying down old debts and opening savings accounts. What's the lesson? While Congress and the rest of Washington have been paralyzed by conflicting pressures, history, and party ideologies, the people have changed gears. Official Washington should take a page from the people. Look at the situation they're in. It may not be where they were or want to be, but it is where they are, so they adjusted. The people recognized that they had to toss the credit cards or open the savings account. Our leaders should do the same. It's a three-step recipe: common sense, compromise, simple math. And that's by the editor of AARP. And as I was saying, the devastation that has wrecked the economy took a serious, serious toll on black people in this country. And just to share some of the devastation, this is from Fidelity.com. says housing crisis destroys minority wealth. White wealth saw the least declines during the crisis. The crash in real estate values has widened the wealth gap between whites and the two largest minority groups in the U.S., Hispanics and Black, to record levels, according to an analysis of the latest government data by the Pew Research Center. Median wealth fell by 66% among Hispanic households and by 53% among Black households during the financial crisis, compared with a fall of just 16% among white households, according to the report issued Tuesday. And this report was issued in July of 2011. The median net worth of white households is now 20 times greater than that of Black households and 18 times greater than that of Hispanic households. By 2009, the median level of home equity held by Hispanic homeowners was half what it was in 2005, plummeting from $99,983 to $49,145. Home ownership rates among Hispanics also fell from 51% to 47%. A disproportionate share of Hispanics live in California, Florida, Nevada, and Arizona, which were in the vanguard of the housing real estate market bubble of the 1990s and early 2000s, but that have since been among the states experiencing the steepest decline in housing values, the report explains. Home ownership rates among whites and blacks were little changed in 2009 compared with 2005, however. While home ownership was stable at 74%, while the rate among blacks fell by 1 percentage point to 46%. Household wealth reflects the balance of the accumulative sum of a household's assets minus the sum of its debt. The wealth gap is likely even more pronounced today than the data reflects, given that much of the higher proportion of whites than blacks or Hispanics own stocks, as the stock market has rebounded while house values have hovered around historic lows since 2009. And of course, most black people don't own any stocks. If we do, we're caught up in mutual funds, things like that. And so that's just one measure of wealth. Then when you look at our savings rate, or if you look at the pensions and retirement funds, that becomes another issue. Now here's a report on saving strategies. Rates differ by race. And you can find it at allbusiness.com. Quote, employers have begun to discover troubling racial differences with their 401k retirement plan, a gap they say could leave today's black workers far less financially prepared for retirement than whites. Investor surveys and research by two large employers strongly suggest that blacks participate in retirement plans at far lower rates and are much less likely than whites to invest in the stock market. As an industry-wide study of 401k plan activity by race has never been conducted. Exelon Corporation, the country's largest operator of nuclear power plants, discovered this year that about 15 out of every 100 black employees did not participate in its 401k plan, compared to around 10 out of every 100 whites. It also found that 1 in 3 black employees contributed less than 5% of his or her pay to the plan, compared to just 14% of whites. We have to start addressing that now, said Andrea Zopp, Exelon's Senior Vice President of Human Resources. If African Americans are not investing at the same rate, they will be behind, she said. McDonald's Corporation discovered in 2004 that only half of its black store managers contributed to the country's 401k plan, a lower percentage than whites. The company plans to say at an event in New York that by auto-enrolling store managers into the plan, it has reversed the trend. Today, 95% of black restaurant managers are plan participants. Few employers today peer into their plans in search of racial or ethnic differences, as they are required to do for discrepancies between high and low income workers. Fidelity Investments and Vanguard Group, two of the country's largest retirement plan operators, both published encyclopedic volumes on America's investing habits that lack any references to race or ethnicity. Experts attribute lower investment rates to poor instruction on financial topics in public schools and misconceptions about the risks of stocks within parts of the black community. Employers have also been urged to tailor their message on retirement savings to account for what some black and Latino executives say are important cultural differences, and the federal government has been urged to strengthen its national strategy for financial literacy, which has been criticized as ineffective. A survey by Charles Schwab Corporation and Ariel Mutual Funds concludes that 4 in 10 African American with household incomes of $50,000 or more have no money in stocks, compared to just 1/4 of whites. Ariel's survey also found blacks enrolled in retirement plans save a median $173 a month, while whites save $252. The survey's margin of error is about 4.5%. A separate survey of retirees found whites are nearly twice as likely to have $100,000 or more saved than blacks, even when education, peak income level, and other factors are held constant. There are clear differences between blacks and whites, how we think about money, where we save and invest our money, what we do with our money, and how we're influenced as to what we do with our money, said Melody Hobson, president of Ariel Mutual Funds. And a lot of it has to do with black people just not being aware of investment vehicles such as mutual funds, things like that. Now, I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying we need to be aware of what we do with our money. They talk about the close to $1 billion of disposable income that Africans in America have, but most of that money goes right through our fingertips and off onto somebody else to enrich them. And one of the things that I notice and I see is that in these troubling times, the misleadership class is so goofy and so caught up in trivialities that they don't come together to talk about things. In other words, the message of Booker T. Washington, self-reliance, Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad, Noble Drew Ali, and even Martin Luther King, in terms of coming together to accomplish something, has been lost, is non-existent, and we don't even talk about the word struggle is not even in our lexicon anymore. So we need to wake up, be aware of what's going on, and pull together, like the song said. Use our strength, use our skills, use our acumen to build our community. And once we build our community, I think other people will be more respectful of us, although we're not doing it for their validation and their acclaim. We're doing it for our own. We're doing it for survival. We're doing it for what we have to do to make sure that we thrive and exist as a people. Those types of conferences, those types of meetings, those types of dialogue are not being put out there. You know, you look at all the nonsense that's being put out there that we get caught up in. It's almost like we've totally lost our mind, and that's deliberate. Dr. Bobby Wright talked about it. It was menicide, the deliberate destruction of our minds. And when you look at how we're functioning, it's clear we're out of our mind. You know, they talk about savings and spending. This is a so-called holiday season. Do not spend money on stuff, on junk, gadgets and gizmos that you don't need just to keep up with the Joneses, because that's probably the worst thing you could do. And it would not benefit you in the long run. I mean, we have to get away from materialism at some point, so we might as well start now. Start savings, even though there's a disincentive for savings, at least you will have something, and you will not be giving all your money to other people. And so with that, we'll close out today's program and encourage you to engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow. And as always, we wish you love, peace, health, prosperity, wisdom, power, but most of all, courage. Courage to find meaning, purpose, and fulfillment in your life so that you evolve into all that the Creator intends for you to be. And your life manifests magnificently as an empowered soul here on this physical plane, making a positive impact for yourself and everyone else. Till next time, stay strong.
Cyberspace is a place that no army with artillery invades.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates. No denomination, faith dominates, and no court is going to try.